Our reading this morning comes from the second book of Haggai, verses 10 to 23, and it can be found on page 949 of the Church Bibles. Blessings for a defied people. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priests answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priests replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, there is defiled. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundations of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought, is there yet any seed left in the barn? Not until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. Zerubbabel, the Lord's signet ring. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
So, that sounds like a complicated reading, isn't it? All the names, and so if we don't get a bit of the context, it's like, what's it all about? So, I'm going to share a bit of what's been happening, and this is our third talk in a series of three, talking about this prophet Haggai. So we're talking about something that happened 2,500 years ago, so it's been a while, and our sermon series for this time is called Living for God's Glory, and glory being his fame, so making God known as he is. And just to give us a bit of context, if we can see the next screen, we can see basically what happened was God's people, who we all know used to live in Israel, in Jerusalem, had been captive for 70 years in Babylonia, which is the kind of arrow, I'm trying to look as you see it. So the arrow on the right, that's Babylonia, and on the left, that's where they were living. So taken into this, kind of conquered by this really massive empire. It was actually the biggest empire that had been up to then, and then obviously the Romans came and they were bigger, but they were a kind of a massive empire, and they were taken out of their land into Babylon. And after 70 years there, they're left to go back to their homeland and to build their temple and to be able to worship their God, because that's the heart of the nation. The heart was they wanted to build their temple and be able to kind of worship their God together. So that's mainly what's happened. And what happened is that when they went back, they started building the temple, and after a while, they started feeling some pressures and stopped. So that's when God sends this messenger to kind of encourage them to continue building the temple. So that's what we've been looking at. And last Sunday, we saw that God was telling them, I am with you, don't be scared, get to work, start kind of doing the work. And what we are looking at last week and a bit today is, what does that mean? Because actually we're talking about an invisible kingdom, a kingdom which we can't see. Kind of, they were building a temple that was physical, so they could see how it was building up, whilst we are kind of building a kingdom which is completely invisible. We're doing all these things for God, but we can't actually see something growing as they did. So last week, we talked about what does that mean concretely, the kind of what does that mean for us. And actually, these three things are things we did last week. So last week, we brought toys for kids up in London who don't receive toys in Christmas. So between us and St. George's, we filled the van full of toys, and that went this week up to London, and they're being prepared by the team. So you can see the picture over there of the team receiving our toys in London, preparing them for those kids who don't receive toys in Christmas, and they'll receive the toys we gave. That's a very concrete brick in the kingdom of God that we are building. That's every toy you brought is a little brick building that kingdom. And the other thing you see up at the top is a Christmas card. So we also writing last week Christmas cards to people who are persecuted for their faith, so people who are in prison in Cuba and in Nigeria and in different places of the world. And we wrote more than 150 Christmas cards just to encourage them in their prison, in their solitude, to receive a card just from someone across the world saying, Happy Christmas. That's another concrete brick in building God's kingdom. So the reading we got today is a bit further on. So it's 3 months after they started building the temple. So you remember they kind of stopped, and then Haggai comes and encourages them. So they start building again. And a few months later, he comes and speaks to them again. And what he says is, we'll find in our next slide, now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. And he's trying to make them remember that kind of, even though now we are building and kind of we are rebuilding this relationship with God, remember where you've come from so that they wouldn't go back to those old ways. So they wouldn't go back to kind of neglecting God and not giving him any room in their lives. So he says, remember, give careful thought. And he actually says this twice, give careful thought to where you've come from, so that you can remember where you're at and where you want to go to. So consider this. And then he says, from this day on, I will bless you. And I know the word bless is a very kind of biblical word and sometimes hard to relate to in our everyday lives, because we kind of hear bless you and we say kind of bless the Lord and stuff like that. But it's not something at least I'd use in my everyday living. I wouldn't tell someone, okay, be blessed, or someone in my previous job, oh, God bless you. That's not what you use it. So it's a word we kind of use at church, but we sometimes don't think what it really means. So I went into the Hebrew word and what was the original meaning of that word. And it says that being blessed basically is means being in a relationship. So being, when we say, God, I bless you, it means, God, I worship you. I recognize that you are God, the creator, and you are my God. And when God says to us, be blessed, so if he says to us like, I don't know, Paul, bless you, he's saying, reap the benefits of this relationship. Be blessed is you have my blessing, you have my peace, you have my support, you have my hope. I am here with you. So in a nutshell, being blessed can be described in a blessing we find actually in Numbers in the Old Testament. is a blessing you've probably heard, but it kind of describes what being blessed is. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So being blessed is that. That's it. It's being in a relationship with God, where we recognize that he's God and we worship him, and he lets us know that we are his children, and he gives us peace, and he gives us the support that we need. He's there for us. That's being blessed. So that's what God is telling them. Remember where you've come from, because I want to bless you. I want you to be blessed. I want you to reap the benefits of being in a relationship with me. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, how do we have a relationship with God today? Because this is Old Testament, and kind of the way God related to people 2,500 years ago is a bit different to us today. And actually, today, we have a relationship with God through Jesus, and that's what baptism is all about, is recognizing what Jesus did for us, that we can be blessed, that we can have that relationship with him. And basically, if you haven't heard anything I've just said, just listen to the next 2 minutes about how we can have a relationship with God, because that's the heart of Christianity. That's the heart of the Bible, and that's the heart of everything we do as a church. And it's simply through Jesus' death on a cross, we can be forgiven. We can receive a relationship with God. All we need to do is recognize that through him, our sins are forgiven. Our fault, our mistake is forgiven. Through him, we can have access to a relationship with the Father. And it's sometimes we take it for granted, and it seems very kind of everyday thing to say, but actually, there's nothing we can do to earn God's love. There's nothing we can do to earn God's acceptance. There's nothing we can do to kind of make God say, oh, you're a great guy. It's just, the only thing he wants us to do is to accept that we are forgiven through Jesus. That's the only thing he wants. And that's the only thing we need, is to recognize that through him we are forgiven and that we are accepted and loved and valued. And I was looking this week at the testimony of a person who has been a Mormon for many years. And one thing that I found really interesting was, so this Mormon young person who went through the whole kind of being a Mormon, and he had his 2 years as a missionary. And the issue with him was that what he learned that was that God wanted him to do all these things, and by doing those things, he found his value as a person. If he did all these correct things, all these things that were good for God, then that's how he would become a child of God. That was how he would be loved. That was how he'd be accepted. And as he was preaching around, he knocked on the door of a Baptist minister. And he thought, well, this is a great challenge. I'm going to try and preach to the Baptist minister. And I'm sure you're guessing where the story is going to. But as they were talking, they went through the Bible, and they started realizing, and he started showing that actually, it wasn't that God needed him to do all these things for him to be loved. God wasn't asking him to do all of these things for him to be a child. He wasn't asking him to do all of these things to be forgiven. It's actually saying, through Jesus, you are loved, you're forgiven, you're valued. There's nothing you need to do. But in response, then you do all these lovely things. But you don't do it to gain God's love and acceptance. And I think that's the kind of message we have in our society of who God is. A God that's expecting us to do all these things to love us. And actually, the message in the Bible is God loves us and values us just as we are and calls us his children and then invites us to live a life for him. And the lovely thing with this Mormon was, as he suddenly realized that he was loved by God, that he was valued, that there's nothing he needed to do to earn God's love, his life was completely transformed because he received that grace that he hadn't understood before. He was living under so much pressure to have to earn God's love, to have to earn an eternal life with him, to have to earn acceptance. And suddenly he was freed from all of that. And he was loved just as he was. And obviously his story continues, and he had to go through a lot of tough things because he was kind of going against the Mormon message. But he discovered how he could be blessed, how he could have a relationship with God. And I think if there's one thing that's great about the Bible is recognizing that there's nothing we can do to earn God's love, that we are already loved as we are, and we are invited to this relationship. We are invited to have a life full of purpose and hope and support and love and freedom and forgiveness, and where all our shame is taken away, and we are called to something greater. And that's what God means when he says, from this day on, I will bless you. That's what God means when he says, the Lord bless you and keep you, Lord make his face shine upon you, is the invitation to that relationship with him. And that's for everyone. It's not for people who are usually at church or people who go to church regularly. It's for everyone, an invitation to be able to be blessed, to be able to be full of purpose and hope and love and support and forgiven and free from the need to be accepted, because we are already accepted for who we are. So as I was reading this, I came across something that a guy called John Piper wrote. He's someone I go to many times as I'm looking at different passages. And he said, from Haggai, this is what he says. So God came to them with a word of promise. Take courage. You build more than you see. The heavens and the earth and the sea and the land and all treasures are mine. I will take the fruits of your little labor and make it glorious beyond measure, no matter how trivial and paltry it may seem to you now. And I think that's the heart of Haggai's message, is a call to a relationship and a call to build that kingdom where we build little things and God is building something great, where we see little stones and he's seeing a massive building that he's creating. So as we're finishing this series of three talks, I just wanted to go through the three things I think are the heart of Haggai's message. And first is, be careful of getting distracted or discouraged. That's a need. That's why Haggai comes and gives his message, because they are distracted and they are discouraged. And then he says, get to work, build God's kingdom. And that's the action, but it comes with a promise. And the promise is, I'm with you and I will bless you and I will bless what you're doing. I am with you. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am with you. That's the message that God gave Haggai. And that's the message he gives us constantly, isn't it? Every time we get together, that's the message God is giving us. I am with you. Just continue the work. I am with you. Be encouraged. I am with you. I love you. I want to continue blessing you. That is the heart of God's message. But sometimes we need to remind ourselves and be encouraged by the little things that God does or that people do to build us up, and how that can have a big effect. And as I was thinking of this, I just remembered something that happened to me while I was at university. So this is a long time ago now. This was 2002, and as I was at university, someone invited me to think about coming on a mission to England and Spain. So we came for 4 weeks, and we did a bit of England and a bit of Spain, and we went out and did lots of interesting things, but mainly a retreat we are trying to encourage people to do. And actually, we came in February 2003, and I remember being on a train that time and thinking, might it be that God will call me back to England at some point for some kind of mission or something? And this 2003, completely forgot about it. And then 2014, with Sonia, we came here on a holiday. And something happened here that we're kind of thinking, well, maybe God is calling us to come to England. So that's 11 years between. And then obviously we're now here. We've been here for 4 years. And you might think that's a God thing. And some people might think, oh, that's not a God thing at all. Or probably working on your patience or stuff like that. But well, I hope it's a God thing. But it's quite interesting. As I was reflecting, I was thinking, someone encouraged me in 2002 to come on a mission, and now, 17 years later, I'm preaching here. And it's that kind of, that little encouragement maybe was part of the journey God had for me. And that little brick had an effect that that person probably has no idea kind of the effect that that might had in my life. So every brick, every little thing we do for God can have an impact that we have no idea what God will do with it. So my encouragement for us today is basically two things. One is for us to really think about what being blessed is. Are we taking advantage of this relationship that God's inviting us to have? And this is for everyone. Like, are we really reaping the fruit of this relationship? Are we making the best out of it? Because God is saying, I want to bless you. I want to give you the peace, and I want to give you the support, and I want you to be free, and I want you to have a purpose and hope. Are we taking advantage of this blessing that God is offering? And the second is to encourage us to continue building God's kingdom, to continue building these little bricks that have an effect that we have no idea how big they are. And I'm going to finish by reading something I wrote, because I think I had it clearer in my mind as I wrote it a few days ago than if I say it now. So sorry if this is less engaging. So there's a principle that applies to you and me. God takes small, imperfect things and builds them. We should take courage. This is the message of Advent and Christmas. Is this not what God would say to Mary as Jesus was growing up? Take courage, young mother. You build more than you see. So today for us, take courage, Alan and Sally. You build more than you see. And for each and every one of us, take courage. You're building so much more than what you see. Shall we pray? God, thank you that you are here. Thank you that the blessing you're offering is not just words. It's actually your presence in our lives. It's actually your favor and you acting in our favor. It's actually walking and knowing that you are walking with us. It's actually having peace when there's a massive storm around us where everything seems to be breaking and shaking and we don't know what's happening. It's actually understanding that there's more to life than ourselves and seeing others and finding happiness in sharing with others. It's actually living for a greater purpose and a greater kingdom. I just pray, Lord, today that you would encourage us, that you'll fill us with your Holy Spirit to be able to do your work, to build your kingdom, to spend time with you and to build our relationship with you, knowing that the fruit of that relationship is actually great. Remembering that when we are not in that kind of spending time with you, we lose out on the peace and the love and the hope you want to give us. In Jesus' name, amen.